Hey, gang, it's that time of year. People are making resolutions and like, hey, man, this year I'm going to get it together with my business, man. Maybe I should get some business cards made. Well, let me tell you, I had some business cards made this year. I used Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint allows you to make up to 500 full-color, single-sided, or double-sided business cards starting at $9.99. Simply go to Vistaprint.com and order your cards. In the offer code, enter BC500. That's B as in boy, C500. Go to Vistaprint.com and get your business cards made. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you all had a very beautiful Christmas with family or loved ones, or even if you quarantined yourself from the rest of the world and spent a solo Christmas just being quiet. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope everyone did have a great Christmas. I had a fantastic Christmas myself. I will tell you all about it in just a minute. First, let me tell you who we have on the show today. From Dallas, the hip-hop funk soul band Cure for Paranoia, that just won Best New Act in the Dallas Observer 2016 Music Awards just a few weeks ago. They are from Dallas. They're fantastic. My friend Chaney's working with them. He sent me their music a little while back. I heard this song, Normal Person, and then their response to the Dallas shootings with the police and the people and the whole scene, a song called We Matter, which ended up getting put on the Huffington Post blog as like a, hey, check out this response to it. It's a great song, great message. These are great guys. They played Erykah Badu's birthday party. Great story. They've opened for Ludacris. They've been playing like once a week in Dallas and doing these weird sort of like improvisational shows outside of just their regular shows. They're doing tons of collaborations with other artists. They all have solo things going on, but they come together as Cure for Paranoia and make an incredible, incredible, beautiful sound. Incredibly beautiful sound. All right? My conversation is coming up with them in just a minute. First, let me tell you what is going on with me. I hope that you did have a good Christmas. I had a good Christmas. I told you guys that sometimes those things go off the rails like they did last year at my family's party. This year, total success. Everyone was doing good. There were pockets of sadness here and there. People would kind of group off into a thing and get sad. But that's all right. Most of us were going back by them and going like, hey, man, it's Christmas. Just, you know, it's cool. So anyway, it was a good Christmas. Got a lot of good presents. I think I gave some good presents. Pretty happy with the overall production of Christmas. Christmas Eve was kind of nice. After everybody left, my cousin Jennifer and my cousin Emily and I hung out outside with our Aunt Olga and chatted for a while, drank some vodka, straight at that point. It was a great Christmas. We had a lot of cocktails, and we did well. We did well as a family, so I hope that you did well as a family. I got to play Tito's birthday party, or not birthday party, but Christmas party, the night before I left to Houston, which was, I guess, the 22nd. Skyrocket played Tito's Christmas party. That was fantastic. Got to sing a song with Tito. That's always very exciting. And speaking of singing songs with people, tonight, Tuesday, December 27th, I will be singing with the Bodines at the Townsend. I'm going to get up and sing like three songs with them. They're doing a special kind of acoustic mellow show with like a piano and a bass and acoustic, you know, mellow guitar and an interesting drum setup. I just went and practiced with Kurt Newman for a while. It's always exciting to get to play with people that you listened to when you were in high school. I mean, I've been into the Bodines for like 30 years now. I've loved them since their first album. Their first and second album were like ingrained into my scene. And then a friend of mine, Michael Ramos, started playing with them, and I started getting to go see them when they come through town, go to Houston. I was living there at the time. Always great to see them. My friend Raphael started playing with them. And I love the Bodines, and I'm really honored to get to sing with them tonight at the Townsend, 8 p.m., Tuesday, December 27th. I don't think it's sold out, but you might want to go to the Townsend.com or to the Bodines.com to find out all the details. All right. So my guest today, Cure for Paranoia, will be playing December 29th, High and Tight in Dallas. They'll be doing one of their shows where they do like the improvisational thing. Then December 31st, they'll be doing a full-on show at Trees in Dallas. New Year's Eve, Trees in Dallas with a great lineup. January 2nd, they will be coming to Empire Control Room here in Austin. All right, so check them out, man. They're fucking great. I can't wait to go see them January 2nd in Austin. And don't forget New Year's Eve. If you're in Houston, you can buy tickets for the Skyrocket show. Some are still available. Get them while you can. Skyrocket, this is our fifth annual New Year's show in Houston. This year we're doing at the Citadel. Go to skyrockettheband.com. Look up the dates. I'll put a link to it on the website. All right. So enjoy my conversation with these guys, Cure for Paranoia. They're from Dallas. They just won the Best New Act in the Dallas Observer Music Awards 2016. They tell great stories about Dave Chappelle, Erykah Badu, and opening for Ludacris. Great dudes. Cure for Paranoia. Have a great week. Let's get down.
I'm not a normal person. I hope. I'm not a normal person. I won't ever be a normal person. 'Cause if I do, I'll be just like you.
So I have this as the first question to ask, and you came in talking about it. What is the new Deep Ellum? What is that?
I mean, I don't know if they were around to see. I don't know if they were around to see when Deep Ellum became a ghost town, but that was a pretty scary thing for his musicians down there. The new Deep Ellum, by us being optimistic, is just a huge audience to consume our music on any day of the week, and we love that.
Yeah, it's kind of gone back to what it was in the 90s or something.
Yeah, completely. Pretty similar.
I mean, maybe even more.
Yeah, a little more gentrified than that, but you know, we don't mind. It makes restaurants really close to convenient to eat by after shows.
Yeah, that's true. It's not just that Cafe Brazil place anymore.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah.
Nothing against that place, but it's nice to have a choice.
Right.
I've eaten at that place way too many times. It never closes. Mm-mm. So, yeah, so you guys just won Best New Band.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How is that exciting? I mean, because you're very new. I mean, you're like a year.
Oh, we just hit a year, actually.
You just hit a year.
Yes, on the 19th. Yeah, our first debut show as like Cure for Paranoia was at Waz Art Gallery on December 19th last year.
Yeah, we decided to do a preview on the 19th just to test what we were working on at the time, yeah. in this giant art space.
Yeah.
And it went over well enough for us to be doing music still, you know, at the end of this year.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well enough. And you have is your album out?
No, that was the most surprising part about winning Best New Act is we didn't release any official music. We have an album we have shelved right now that will slowly come out, you know, beginning of next year. But we just played a lot. Played a lot live. We did like 200 shows this year collectively.
Four shows a week, constantly.
Yeah, you guys are playing a lot in Dallas.
Yeah.
And there was something about like there's because there is that sort of balance thing where you're like, oh, you don't want to oversaturate the marketplace or whatever.
Right.
But then also some people can play all the time if they if they keep it fresh. It sounds like you guys write songs a lot. Like you're real prolific.
Yeah.
How does that work? Do you all live together?
Yeah, absolutely. you know what that life's like, Johnny. Don't play.
I've lived that life. That's why I'm laughing. I'm a guy who lives by himself now.
But congratulations, you made it.
That's what making it is. First of all, Cameron, where are you from?
I'm from Dallas.
Okay. And you're from Dallas.
Pretty much, yeah.
And where are
Dallas.
You from?
Dallas.
In Dallas.
Okay, yeah, so Dallas. You guys all come from different walks of different groups. I mean, were you in bands before, Cameron?
Oh, yeah. We all come from like different like scenes. Sort of like factions and scenes in Dallas. So it's just cool. We all like have our own like different like ideas of what we were striving for success like music-wise, and then basically we took all of our individual ideas and came together, and then
we still have
and then this happened.
How did you come together?
there was a manager. Well, I mean, how I met up with them, there was a manager that was trying to manage me that was also trying to manage them.
Okay.
And pretty much we decided not to sign with them. And then we pretty much just put our own band together. I wasn't there for this, but apparently Tomahawk like lit a contract on fire in the meeting. I hate that I missed that.
Is that true?
It's true. That's true. It's very true.
It was rather dramatic, but it was necessary.
So
we all kind of work on a bunch of different music together besides Cure for Paranoia.
Shout out Space Camp. So is that where, like, when you go to your SoundCloud, all that music up there is like collectively all of your music?
So there's some of Cure for Paranoia stuff that's ours, and it was his previous project before.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what was that called?
Originally, it was That Kid Cam first.
Okay.
And then basically I took that SoundCloud page and then changed it to Cure for Paranoia.
Okay.
So then, like, just basically all of my followers that were from there could, like, kind of know what was going on.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So there's like two singles that are officially out then.
As far as Cure for Paranoia wise goes, yes.
And those are the ones that are on your website.
Yes, sir.
That people can go to cureforparanoia.com.
Come through.
Yeah. Doing it. that was so cheesy. Yeah. Yeah, I'm joining in with you guys. No, I'm cool. okay, so one of the songs, We Matter, you did a video, a lyric video to. And that ended up getting picked up by, like, the Huffington Post and put out. And that was in response to the Dallas shootings.
Mm.
Yes. Tell me, that was a year ago already?
No, that was this summer.
Yeah.
That was this summer. Yeah. There's so much shit happens
that,
like, honestly, it's a blur.
Yeah. It's been a really long 2016.
The story behind that song was basically we started the album on this trip to Colorado or whatever. That's where we found our Cure for Paranoia. And then in order to finish the album, we had to go back to Colorado. And when we went back there, we worked on like three songs up there. And
is there a studio up there? Or just like we have friends so up there. Badass, yeah. Like you
and
go
they
there
all kind of set up. We had friends, and then we just basement. They can set up from recording.
And that's how the whole album was kind of written, just in different places, you know, with our portable setup or whatever.
Yeah.
But when we were up there, the actual shootings happened while we're we were on break from the studio up in a mountain.
Literally.
We wrote a song about that since we got back from the studio, and the next morning we drove back to Dallas and wrote We Matter. That night, we tested it out at one of our residencies, and Huffington Post happened to be in the building, and the rest is history.
Yeah, it was like hours after we made the song that Huffington was there to pay. Like, they were at the show, and they just were interested in it. Yeah, the video didn't come till a little later than that.
Okay.
They actually originally just saw our test of the song.
Does your environment around you and things that are happening that influences the music that you make pretty heavily?
I'm a product of all of the things that I see.
Yeah, heavily.
Yeah?
It's actually a lyric.
The album ended up being like a real autobiography. It made it real easy to write because it almost came out in sequential order of how the songs were written and how we grew and how our relationships grew together. And you can sense that kind of started off at the beginning with the sense of an attack on like mental paranoia.
That's it, understand.
And then towards the end, it sort of dealt with social paranoia.
The last four songs we basically wrote one day from each other. So one song was written on a Thursday, next song was written on a Friday. Father's song was written on Saturday. That's like the last of the album, right?
How do you do that? Do you come in and you have a beat? Who does that?
It's whoever has the idea. It's like you come in and you see someone walking around with ideas coming out of your head.
It's constantly a
collective. You're hitting music.
We co-produce together and then also help out with songwriting.
Okay.
And whether, you know, the hook comes first or their idea and we build to that, or if we are working on music and they write to that. It's pretty adaptable.
It's constantly just a several-headed creative entity.
But there's always inspiration, and we can always make music any day of the week, no matter what. There's been zero downtime.
Or we can make any, like, this week, because we finished an album.
You finished an album, and you're going to be releasing it, you said, incrementally, single by single?
We're really, like, down with the whole like underground, let things spread by themselves, not worry about marketing, but we understand the business side of things as well, so we're gonna have the release be able to do both. We'll probably do a full stream release on New Year's on our website exclusively.
Oh really?
And then after that, you know, slowly release singles.
Oh, this will be out on Tuesday. Yeah. So go check out the website. CureForParanoia.com, stream the album.
And that'll be like a pre-release, and after that, you know, we'll have physical copies ready, vinyl ready. We wrote it to vinyl. Each side is made to have the proper timing for it to sound the best on vinyl.
But it's not like a side one is one thing and side two. Okay, tell me, what's the...
They weren't named differently, but the vibe is completely different from side A to side B. Like, you know, like as I said earlier, side A was mostly, you know, to do with, you know, mental paranoia, and side B is closer to social paranoia.
It's awesome. It seems like you guys got together and then just like there was a wave coming and you just happen to like, okay, we'll just get on this wave, and it's just like, whoa.
The stars align, man. You know, it's really, you know, with Dallas really us and everything in our personal lives and other projects, is just, and we couldn't, you know, sometimes things are bigger than you and you can't ignore that, and that's exactly what this is.
Doesn't that fuck with you, though? Because sometimes you're like, Jesus, I spent like 5 years trying to get like 3 gigs.
Oh, man, absolutely.
And like a song on SoundCloud, and it just like, it's crazy do it.
When you do one thing, like when you make more noise in 1 year than like 6 years prior. But if you didn't have that prior experience, you couldn't make that noise.
Right. And you wouldn't be ready for what's happening now either.
It might seem overnight, but it was all the groundwork we laid before, all the foundations we had, the relationships we built prior to that. Without those, there's nothing.
Shout out to Collab.
Yeah, there wouldn't even be an album without that.
It seems to also have an incredible focus, because even like your website is themed. It's not like dates. It's all, that's you.
It's all Tomahawk.
That's the universe. Tomahawk is a genius.
Yeah.
He's the programmer.
I like branding. I understand the importance of branding.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people don't have good music. You know what I mean? Like, I've been meeting a lot of people lately that they're like, they got like, all they care about is the branding and the thing, and they... I met somebody that had hired a publicist to help them get their Facebook numbers up.
Man.
But they had no recorded music or anything.
I was like,
well, what are they liking? And they're like, they're liking us and they're liking our pieces. I was like, they're not liking you.
Right.
You didn't do anything yet.
Yeah.
You got to do something before you get a thing going. But you guys also seem to have that whole thing under control.
That's why we pumped
God.
The brakes on the album, too. Is like, we didn't want to release that before we had, you know, right, a proper audience.
Right.
And the right accolades to have the cosigns. People actually listen to it for some reason. People are sheeps and they want to know somebody heard it before they hear it themselves.
Yeah. Which one of it did, was the camera? Was it you that met David Chappelle?
Yeah. I mean, we all did.
We all.
But their interaction was the best.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What did he tell you?
First thing he said, he was like,
can we tell that whole story? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, well, Stan.
I'm curious. Can I say that?
Yeah, you
can say anything.
So, I mean,
just say it.
I gave him. I gave him all my butt. Yeah, I gave him all my butt. I was like, he didn't even ask. I was just like, you are who you are. Like,
yeah,
you deserve this. And he just picked. He's like, damn. He like looked. He like shook it up in the air. And he looked at Cam. He's like, that's why you're paranoid. And then he just like laughed and walks up the stairs.
But the best part was just right before we left. What's it called? He went up and we were just saying like peace out to him. And he daps me up, shakes my hand, and then he looks at me. He's like, you know what? They probably are after you, right? And then just lets out like just a huge Dave Chappelle laugh, and then just walks off.
Cracks up and walks up the stairs. It was gone.
Your damn sounded just like him. That was really good.
It's awesome.
And so, so how did you, what was the scenario? What, how do you mean?
We were at Erykah Badu's birthday party. Yeah.
Shout out to Erykah Badu.
At Bomb Factory.
Okay, and you guys played it.
Yeah.
Yes, we
made a cameo, a special cameo. Hopefully we'll play it again this year.
So you met her and you just rapped for her?
Yeah.
That takes balls. You just walked up to her and rapped in her face?
Well, I mean, I've been doing that, like, even since... So that's footage. That's pretty much been, like, my... That's like, that was kind of my career. Like, I would just sneak back...
Rapping people's faces.
Pretty much.
Play towards your strengths.
I dropped out of college and I had my mixtape and I would, like, go to different malls around Dallas and I would, like, walk up to people and I'd be like, yo, I'm selling my CD for $5. If you like it, you could cop it. If not, then just laugh in my face and I'll keep walking. And then that's pretty much how I like supported myself when I was staying. Well, that's how I had money when I was staying at my mom's instead of like having to work a job. So then from there, I would just take that mentality and then I'd sneak backstage to like rap to like people that were like on a higher plane than I was.
Childish
Gambino,
Vic Mensa,
Kendrick Lamar, Vic Mensa, Schoolboy Q.
The sneak skills are legendary. And, I don't know how I get to know all these.
Yeah,
backstage.
So I pretty much perfected it, and like I think my last successful sneak was sneaking backstage to Erykah Badu and spitting to her, and like that kind of like
they gave us our platform.
Yeah,
initially.
Okay, so you do that, and then what does she say?
She's got all of her like
goons.
Her like people around her, so I don't even know how that was there. Shout out to Cole. He's not a goon, but yeah, shout out to homie Cole Chris. And basically, now it was like a bow, and then
later on, we
then
had
she
a
went
word
on
that.
To like talk to all her people, and then so what I did was I went back and looked at pictures of people that I saw that like were filming backstage because there was a. You can't see behind her, but there's like a bunch of cameras there.
Right.
So I'm like looking back and I'm hitting up people like that I know on Facebook. And one of my homies lets me know, this dude named Art. He was like, well, he got the footage, so you should hit him up. So I hit him up. I let him know what my plan is for it. Because we had all got together and kind of like came up with like an idea for what we were going to do. And Tomahawk had the idea to like give it to someone else and have them post it. instead of like actually coming from us, you know what I'm saying? Right. So I hit up Art. He actually like he dug the idea so much that instead of at first he was just gonna give me the video, but then he decided to charge me $20 for it. Which is after I told him the idea, he decided to charge me.
That's so good.
And I was like, okay,
you're gonna pay me for it.
But it worked out. Like the video came out on like Thanksgiving, and we went to sleep, woke up, it was at like 10,000 views or something, and then like a week later, Cole Chris, one of the people that was right by her side when I was rapping, asked if we would play her birthday party. And yeah, so we did that, let them know like who we were. Because at first we just rapped, and then like we just walked off stage, like didn't even say anything else to the crowd. And then like RC had to come back and grab us, and was like, yo, let them know who you are. And I was like, oh, I guess we should. We should do that, huh? So we go back and we tell them, and then after that, like, I don't know.
It was such an amazing experience, though, man. Yeah. Like, we were on stage, like, while she's performing during her birthday, like, two or three people away, singing Tyrone with her son. Andre 3000 is behind us. Dave Chappelle's two people from us. It's just amazing, bro. It's like, welcome to Dallas music.
Yeah. Welcome to how every day should be. That sounds cool as shit.
Speak that into existence.
That's goals, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's and then you guys went back there and opened for Ludacris.
Yeah.
Like, how was that?
That was awesome.
It was really fun.
Did you rap in his face?
I didn't rap.
Did you rap in his face?
I did ask him when he said that. No, I did chop it up with him. He ended up wearing one of our shirts, like
oh, that's cool.
Like kind of like a flag, but he had it out to where you could see the logo.
He had the logo.
He had that while he was performing. So that was
do you sell more shirts when that happens?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
People like the shirts for some reason, man. We can't keep them.
That is so awesome. So what you've got? You guys have a bunch of shows coming up. Like you're playing December 29th at High and Tight. And now that says Group Therapy. Is that a show just for the
so do,
the
you,
group?
Do you know how we were talking earlier? How like if you oversaturate yourself by playing too much in the same city, it's a bad thing. The way we avoided that is we kind of themed out the different places we play,
the different nights.
And the Thursday we did play every other Thursday at this what is it called? The Speakeasy in Dallas called High and Tight. Behind a barbershop, and what we do is it's called Group Therapy. It's our open jam session, and it's like the one time we let go. It's unrehearsed completely. Our friends get to be involved with this, and we get to completely let go.
Yeah, go into like more of a live set too.
Nothing's rehearsed.
Guitar, bass, play drums.
That's cool.
It's so much fun. It's so much fucking fun. It's like recess every fucking Thursday over there. Like you just do whatever you want.
That is awesome. Yeah. Well, that's cool. And yeah, I guess you do, if you do keep it interesting, and then also I bet, do you record those things? Because I bet you might come up with jams that...
Not intentionally, but sometimes they end up recorded, and then we'll be like, what the
hell
come
from? We do definitely come up with different parts.
Yeah. I'll run and go grab my phone if we have something too good and just go record it like during the set real fast. Yeah. But yeah, it
seems like there would be some good shit would come out of that.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys collaborate with, like, who's the girl that sings on, there's just the first song.
I'm sorry, person?
That's Kiara Gray. She's with Friday's Foolery.
Amazing singer.
Super voice.
So all of the features, we have a bunch. We put a bunch of different Dallas musicians on the album. You know, little spots here and there. And
who all do you have on there?
Man, Blue the Misfit, Sooty. Ashley Falgu.
What up, Big Sis?
Paco Estrada.
Paco's on there. Several guitar players. We have violins, cellos, trumpets, saxophones.
Nice.
The whole nine yards, man. And like, we really just want to put a spotlight on Dallas and get back to the city. And it's really interesting because our first physical release is going to be like a book that has art. Each page is a song, a piece of art inspired by a song on the record by a different Dallas artist. And it also features a Dallas musician as well.
So the whole, book.
It's a physical book. It's gonna be like 8x10.
That's fucking right.
And it's gonna have the digital downloads like in the back of the book or whatever. So that's gonna be our first like physical copies.
That is awesome.
No CDs, no CDs. Just so people have something to take home, look through it, like you know, like people used to do with vinyl. But also, we shed light on some Dallas art, man. There's a lot of good things happening in the city that nobody knows about. And we want to be the people.
Every one of those pieces represents the song so well, too. It's just perfect. Like, I can't wait to have this thing come out.
That's awesome.
It'll be out by, like, next month.
So you guys are playing down here, and you're playing a lot in Dallas. Are you guys playing anywhere else? I saw you were playing in Lubbock or something.
We played Lubbock a couple times, Houston. We're branching out to San Antonio and Corpus Christi.
Houston's a good town for hip-hop, right? They have a different scene, though.
Yeah.
Even though you might call us hip-hop, or some people might call us hip-hop, some people struggle calling this hip-hop. We're very, very mixed genre.
You definitely are.
The place.
There's like I wish that.
So we're outcast everywhere. We don't fit anywhere. So right. In that case, we get to fit in everywhere at the same time.
But not like outcast.
Maybe a little bit like
outcast. Maybe a little bit like outcast.
Aspiring to be.
I was supposed to meet I can't remember what his name is, but he was the big chopped and screwed guy in Houston. And I talked to his lawyer. Like, that's who was setting up the interview thing. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then the dude told me, hey, you can't bring any guns to the meeting. And then it ended up kind of getting postponed, but then I never really followed up on it again because I was like,
because you wanted to bring your gun.
I don't know what kind
like,
of meeting involves.
Part of
that
me
kind
is
of
like really excited about it, but like, I'm not a journalist. I'm like a fucking singer with a podcast. Like, I'm not like, I can't think of an exciting journalist, but I'm not like, you know, some guy on the front lines out there like Wolf Blitzer or something. That was scary. So do you have plans to branch out and do where like in San Antonio would you play? Do you find band? Is that how you do it? Do you find bands to go play with there?
We hire
you...
people like Chaney to take care of those
Thanks,
problems
Chaney.
For us.
Chaney. Problems are being taken.
No, before we got taken on a small tour with a band called Oxymorons out of New York, and they, you know, they had the path paid for us, and I think we have enough relationships with a bunch of different artists in the state to.
Yeah,
be able to make these spots.
You guys have some really nice videos too. Like, there's some nice like little promo videos, couple minutes long. Yeah. Who does those for you guys?
I know there's one done by Paul Escalante. That's really dope. When we were up at a drugstore,
The Ludacris video was done by
KP.
So Thought Culture is called Thought Culture. They had our backs for a while. They have work on a music video for us as well.
Part of the family.
Three or four different music videos being shot right now at the same time,
really?
Simultaneously as
well.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah, man, it's the
By
real.
By some Dallas directors?
Yep, exactly. Okay. I mean, That's this cool. first project's, you know, is trying to, like I said earlier, just shed some light on Dallas from, you know, the graffiti artists to the video directors to the musicians. We're all the same, man. We're all the same. We're fighting the same fight.
Yeah, definitely. So you have four videos. When are they're just going to come out when the singles come out and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, we'll stagger them out.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll have one next month, and probably 6 weeks after that, another one. 6 weeks after that, another one. Release a full album for the whole world to hear, you know,
right.
after that, officially. But yeah, we want to make sure there's enough momentum behind us before people actually get into us and don't sell ourselves short.
Right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the group therapy thing, too. Like, people can sign up for that on your website, and then they'll get new music and show updates, and then, like, kind of heads up on some free admission opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
And also some merch, which is exciting.
We release a lot of music for those people.
Yeah.
Do you?
Like, we release more music on group therapy than we do, like, actually, like, online.
Some
like,
we'll
email it to, like, the email list of people.
So it's worth it to get on there.
Yes, it is.
So, is there like an act? Do they, but they don't have to pay or anything?
It's just you're pretty much just caught up with how, like, in our creative process because we'll drop stuff on there all the time.
Like an audio newsletter.
It helps us out too, man. We get feedback and stuff, and we make adjustments, you know, for this feedback and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Who's your audience? Is it young? Is there young people?
Yeah, it's everybody.
Is it? Yeah.
Like we said, since we all come from different, like, kind of branches of, like, mm-hmm. the city beforehand, like, the audience is completely scattered. Like, you never know.
Like, well, like, what's your city? I mean, what's your genre?
My genre,
rock and roll?
I mean, not really. I mean, I'm
I mean,
really
were you playing with Paco when I saw you in the studio. You guys were playing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so, I've had projects with Paco before, and JT actually makes.
That's
like,
where
multiple,
I've seen you before. Yeah. Is through stuff with him.
Yeah, I produced the One Love project.
He did the One Love
right.
project
yeah.
with him. He also
like
did
a lot of,
the one with your cover "Leave" on there. He did that.
Yeah.
one. He recorded
yeah.
that one as well.
Yeah. Nice song, by the way.
Thanks, man. Yeah. So what were you doing?
I was, beforehand, I wasn't doing what I wanted to be doing, but I was learning a lot.
At the studio at Paco's, though.
Fast forward. Okay, studio at Paco's, I was actually just filming, and I was learning everything I possibly could. I was just...
So I'm real close to Paco, and I had him under my wing at this point. I met him randomly in like, Deep Ellum. We had a couple mutual friends, and I knew he was ready for music. Or wasn't ready for music. I knew he wanted to spend his life doing music.
Yeah.
So I just introduced him to everybody I knew, and he was always, like, my right-hand man. He moved out of his parents' house, moved into my bedroom, and...
Yeah. Tom Hawk's, you know, my big brother.
He started playing improv with him real fast after that.
Yeah.
Like, I brought him to Austin whenever we recorded with Paco. He was doing some background vocals like you were. So, man, he's one of the, you know how it is when you hand the torch over to the next person. Paco did it to me, and I did it to him or whatever. We're just trying to teach him everything I know and download it to him so he can one day spread that to somebody else.
Yeah. And were you doing music too?
Yeah.
And what kind of music?
I was like it was me and JT and Paco had this thing called Space Camp, which is eventually going to grow into a record label, but it was just like alternative hip hop stuff.
Okay.
And it initially was supposed to be me, you know, rapping and JT helping produce and mix, and then Paco was doing vocals. But initially,
oh, well, I think I heard some of that.
Yeah. But initially, it wasn't supposed to be Paco. I was supposed to collaborate with a bunch of people. But Paco was one of my idols and best friends. Yeah. He wanted to do it, so of course I jumped on board and said, "Let's do this."
Yeah.
But he's so busy, man. You know.
Yeah.
He has so many different records and different styles and everything.
Well, when you were talking about doing the book thing, I remember when I was talking to him about. When he was on my podcast, I can't remember if he actually ever did it or how close he was to doing it, but he was doing these electronic books. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he actually did an electronic book for the bedtime stories.
Okay, yeah.
It was, like an iBook. It was crazy.
And you guys did a lot of the filming for that disc, the video?
We helped out.
Helped out?
Yeah, okay. you know all the support you can get.
Right, yeah, totally. And so when you guys play live, I was watching some of those videos, and it looks like you guys handle... running music stuff, YouTube.
Yeah, live audio or live producing on stage, pretty much.
What does that consist of?
Pretty much playing backing tracks as well as interacting and dropping backing tracks and adding effects, creating live beats and new instrumentations.
So instead of just having like a DJ back there playing a track, we're actually like arranging them back there ourselves and like adding stuff on top of it and improvising ourselves. So every show's different, it's a little more interesting. That's sure. Why people consider us a band for some reason instead of just a group, even though we don't have you know, auxiliary musicians there all the time.
And all of your beats are made from they're not samples of other things. No. They're your own music.
Constantly, yeah. They're in their little laboratory at the house making new stuff for shows all the time.
God,
yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, man. Are you just writing all the time? I mean, do you write most of the lyrics?
That's all. I just write pretty much. Yeah, man.
You just have. Are you? Do you
they,
do
they
that?
Call me the? They call me the scribe. Pretty much. I write. Scribe. Yeah. Just write about what I see going on, and then I know. Then we just put beats to it.
And beyond just like Cure for Paranoia stuff, we use them as writers for other stuff we produce as well. Yeah. So,
oh, cool.
They're full on songwriters nowadays.
Yeah.
Right.
Loving every minute of it.
Yeah. And Stanley, you sing, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Like an angel.
Yeah, you do sing.
Ah, shit.
You got a good singing voice.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Pocket angel. Well, man, you guys have this show coming up on December 29th, High and Tight. That's Group Therapy, where you do all improv stuff and have special guests and stuff. And then you're doing New Year's Eve at Trees in Dallas. Who else is on that bill?
Ishii and Sam Lau.
And the Quinn Gray Project. Yeah.
Trees, man. I love that place.
Well, you too. Yeah, man. Every time.
Historic Dallas at its finest.
Totally. Is Dada's still going, right?
Yeah. We're actually playing there on Christmas.
Yeah, we're doing a pop-up there on Christmas.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We got a brand new song we made with Ishii, too, that we're going to probably gonna perform.
Yeah. On New Year's?
Yeah, he came over to the laboratory and made it with us the other day, and it's so much fun.
Do you guys
fun.
Have videos of the laboratory? Like, do you guys ever do, like, we Facebook should have Live more. From the laboratory?
We did that one.
The only video we have is
the So Far Challenge. That was the only thing so far.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Surf?
Yeah, I have.
We did.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it, but I saw you guys had that on there. Okay, and that's from
the only footage
we should film a little more of the action that goes on in there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then also you're coming to Austin on January 2nd to do the Empire Control Room.
Yeah.
You know who's on that bill with you?
I know we're very excited about it.
I can tell. Chaney can tell.
Chaney knows all.
It's during Free Week.
It is during Free Week. That's a big week here.
It's all about the vibe.
Uh-huh.
So it's a monthly residency at the Empire Control Room.
Okay.
By Wavy Mega. And there is...
Drum roll.
Here we go.
Gowdy's going to edit this so it's a lot shorter and it makes you seem a lot faster.
This podcast is going to be like a minute and a half long. I don't edit, so there's just going to be the stuff where we're hanging out. We can... there's other stuff we could say. You're doing Stagold. Who are you doing that show with, even though this won't come out until Tuesday?
It's just us, man.
We're
able to take take large blocks of time and entertain, whether it's just like improv.
See, that's cool as shit. DJ stuff. I was gonna ask, are you guys gonna do that jam therapy on the road, or is that just something special for your hometown?
You never know.
Hopefully
I think our overall goal is to be able to take like a big backing band with us. and like four or five different projects that we're all working on together and have like a big circus like they used to do in the 70s.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think that would be Paradise. very group therapy oriented at some points.
Yeah, that would be very
It's like
cool.
one giant set where we just interchange just...
Yeah. Well, people can find out all the dates and hear your music and see your videos and find out even more about you at cureforparanoia.com. Is there anything I'm missing? I'm enjoying talking to you guys.
Right. Yeah, thank
thanks
you,
for having
yeah,
us.
Appreciate
we
it.
We really appreciate
it's
it.
It's good to see you again.
We plan on meeting back in Austin a lot. You know, okay. We want to split our time between here and Dallas a lot.
We'll see y'all soon.
Yeah, and people in Houston, look for them. They'll be coming to see you. And Austin, Dallas, cureforparanoia.com. Thank you, guys. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Even though it's coming out after Christmas. Stereotypical hero. But I don't care. I'm very original. Aware that a weirdo. It's just how I appear to all. Winners of the Best New Act in the 2016 Dallas Observer Music Awards. That's Cure for Paranoia. Great talking to those guys. Great music. Great dudes. Don't forget that you can get out and see them this week, December 29th in Dallas. They'll be doing one of those improvisational shows at High and Tight. And December 31st, they will be playing at Trees in Dallas, among a few other people for the New Year's. And then January 2nd, they will be bringing their act to Austin, Texas to play at the Empire Control Room. So get out there, check them out. Go to cureforparanoia.com. Great dudes. Check out their tunes, Normal Person and We Matter. Great tunes, great dudes. Thanks for coming by, guys. I wish you all the luck in the world. Hopefully, I'll see you on the 2nd at Empire Control Room and Garage. And hey, guys, don't forget, New Year's Eve, if you're in Houston, Skyrocket is playing at the Citadel. Go to skyrocketheband.com. Find out when, you know, you can see what we're doing there. Get out there, find out. It's New Year's, man. There's lots of stuff going on. A lot of times, it's an amateur night. I know how you feel. I feel that way sometimes too. But I do go out and mix it up when I can. And I do enjoy playing those parties. Our Skyrocket parties are really fun there. This is our 5th one that we do with our friendly supporters. So come on out. Come on out to the Citadel in Houston, Texas. And if you're in Dallas, going out to Trees, New Year's Eve, see the great Cure for Paranoia. Great talking to those guys. I want to thank my old friend Chaney for bringing him by. He's a great dude. Great hanging out with him. Check out the pictures that he took during the conversation. Fabulous photos, fabulous conversation, great dudes. Let's hear their song, We Matter, which was featured on the Huffington Post blog. And it was their song that they wrote in response to that Dallas shooting, okay? Here's the song, We Matter, by the band Cure for Paranoia. Have a great week. Let's get down.
A system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do.
We ain't got no weapons.
They ain't got control.
We ain't got no weapons.
They ain't got control.
We ain't got no weapons.
They ain't got control.
We ain't got no weapons.
They ain't got control.
We ain't got no weapons.
They ain't got control.
We ain't got no weapons.
They ain't got control.
So we tell them hands up, we ain't got no weapons, we ain't got no weapons, we ain't got no weapons on us, but we got control. We ain't got no weapons, we ain't got no weapons, we ain't got no weapons on us, but we got control. We ain't got no weapons, we ain't got no weapons, we ain't got no weapons on us, but we got control. We ain't got no weapons.
Missing black versus white. This is asking what's right. This is asking you nice. Missing black versus cops. This is mask your god and you act like it's not. Missing black versus white. This is asking what's right. We've been asking you nice. This ain't black versus cops. This is mask your god and we're happy to watch. Our backs and the fact that we got to hope those we know aren't the next to get shot is exactly why we should be asking the reason it's happening until what's happening stops. Cause this ain't black versus white. This is asking what's right. We've been asking you nice. This ain't black versus cops. This is mask your god and you act like it's not.
I shut mouth closed, hands up, control. 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 We'll be right back.
versus fate. This is love versus hate, and the struggle's insane. Do you trust it to change when the silence remains? Keep the violence contained. At least try anyway. Don't go die for debate. They divide us with hate, and we're blinded with rage. Every time that they blame it on race, all the evidence gone. Away with the case. That way they can't rewind the tape. Messages change from what the witnesses say. The victims are endless this way. Endless this way.
This ain't us versus fate. This is love versus hate. This is blood leaving stains as a public display. Do you trust it to change when the silence remains?